Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our mission is to help you evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. Here is your host, investor, entrepreneur, and an influencer, Dr. Meetu Bhatnagar, CCIM.
Hello, Wealth Nation. You are listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our club shares the success stories, explore various loopholes, secrets, and skills that help you evolve from rich to wealthy. You might be wondering, why rich is not wealthy? That's because that fat income or paycheck is gone in paying mortgage of luxury homes, luxury cars, high taxes, and paying credit card bills to maintain the affluent lifestyle. You are working so hard for money and hardly have freedom to do what you enjoy the most. For example, spending time with your loved ones, going on vacation, or anything else that you cherish. After all, being rich is not about monetary wealth. It's about being truly satisfied, being truly happy, and having a balanced professional, personal, and social life. Being contented with what you have and not worrying about work, future, or how to earn more to save more for retirement. Our podcast mission is to create a spark, help you evolve from rich to wealthy, and inspire you to live a life filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. Wealth Nation, please make sure to like our page, Wealth Evolution Club, and join our free Facebook community, Wealth Evolution Club. Today, our guest of honor is Dr. Tom Burns. Hi, Dr. Tom Burns. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us an opportunity to host you on our Wealth Evolution Club podcast. It's a privilege and honor to have you as a VIP guest launch series episode number one. Thank you again.
Thank you. I'm honored. Appreciate it.
Wealth Nation, our guest today, Tom, is an entrepreneur and an orthopedic surgeon in Austin, Texas. He is currently a physician for the United States Sky Team and travels worldwide with them. He has over 25 years of real estate experience involving acquisition, development, and management of multiple asset types. In addition to co-founding and managing a freestanding full-service hospital, he has owned and developed property locally and internationally and has participated in the acquisition and development of over $250 million of real estate. Dr. Burns is a principal of Presario Ventures, a private equity real estate company in Austin, Texas. He is an author and sought-after speaker and is frequently featured in nationally circulated print articles and popular real estate-oriented podcasts. Tom has been financially independent for a decade. His mission is to help physicians create financial independence so, like him, they can enjoy medicine with the passion that first drew them to the profession. Tremendous. Congratulations, Dr. Tom, for all your success.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Tom, I heard that you recently launched a book called Rich Doctor. Please share with our listeners about your book, what inspired you to write the book, and your journey.
Sure. A friend of mine is Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so about 3 years ago, he sat with me one day at lunch and said, you know, you've got a story, you ought to write a book. So Mr. Never Willing to Pass on a Challenge, I said, okay. So it was sort of his idea, even helped with the title. But during that process is when I really got a good feel of how a lot of physicians were feeling and how trapped some of them were feeling. And so that's really what bore out the mission. I was sort of tripping along on my own real estate path and realized that there were others that maybe could follow along and maybe I could do some help, do some good for them.
That's really kind of you, so thoughtful of you. Now, Dr. Tom, I heard about physician burnout. What is it? Is it something real? Could you please share with us?
Sure. Burnout in any workplace, it's emotional, physical exhaustion. It's basically when people feel that they don't have a way to get out of it. They don't have the resources to get out of a situation. They feel trapped. And so every day is just a grind. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people for physicians. A lot of people don't feel sorry for doctors, and maybe you shouldn't, because we make a nice living and it's a really a wonderful profession. However, some of them are really under a lot of pressure and a lot of financial pressure from costs just to become a doctor. It's wildly expensive these days. And they're getting into situations where they're more employees than they are running their own ship. And that gets a little rough when somebody non-medical asks you to keep churning the machine rather than taking care of patients, which is why you got into medicine. So it becomes a real difficult tug of war for physicians who really like the profession.
So Dr. Tom, when you are finally financially free, do you still practice?
I do. It's been a decade now. I really enjoy it. I got into medicine because I was an athlete. And so I got into sports medicine as an orthopedic doctor. So it still gives me a chance to hang around the people that I like to be with. And I love my partners. I love the people I work with. I just do it in the mornings and I don't do it every morning. It's a lot of fun now.
Oh, wow. Awesome. So what is the difference that you have observed when you were working, when you were not financially free, while when you are financially free? So what is the difference that you have observed?
Sure. I was able to make it more fun because if you're working to make a living, you know, the old quote, work to create a life rather than work to make a living. And so once there was enough money coming in passively, whether I was sleeping, vacationing, or working, it covered the bills. I didn't have to worry so much about how many patients I saw, how long I spent with them, how many surgeries I did. And I didn't have to do some of the things that were less pleasant. Some of the hospitals wanted us to do certain things, stay up at night and take call. I didn't want to do those because I wanted to stay at home with my kids. So
obviously,
I started eliminating things that were pressure points to enjoying my work life and just my life in general. And everything got more fun. So I was able to spend more time with my patients and get to know them. And it's just been a joy the last 10 years.
Awesome. And I learned in your resume that you have done some development also. And I feel like it's very challenging and mostly the operators try to stay away from it. What inspired to go into that field?
It really happened by default. My career started buying smaller properties and larger properties. And then my development experience spans office development and multifamily development. So what really happened was I had reached a point where I'd sort of learned as much as I could on my own. I started learning things. I jumped in. I took some action and made mistakes. And I was learning and getting better. But I really needed to expand my knowledge. So I went to somebody that I knew that was a developer. He was a friend of mine. But I said, I like what you do. Will you teach me? And he said, sure. So for close to 2 years, I worked with him, for him, doing deals and didn't get paid, but learned a lot. Well, that spawned the development of our first medical complex. We built a rather large medical complex. Along that process, as sort of the market sort of got to know who I was, or I started to get to know other people, I ended up connecting with another partner who is a close friend to this day. And he and I started doing projects. Well, we happened to have 16 acres of land right when the Great Recession started. So couldn't sell it. So we decided to develop on it. And so we learned by the seat of our pants.
Awesome. That impressive. What is the asset class that you invested? Do you invest in class A properties, B or C properties? And why do you pick up that particular asset class?
Sure. I will invest in anything that makes cash flow is the short answer. Most of our projects are class A just because of the fact that we develop most of our products. Obviously, it comes out class A. We have purchased class B in the past, the traditional value add process, but mostly class A. I guess that was a long answer for saying most of our stuff is class A.
So what's your hold and exit strategy? Do you do it for a long-term hold or like typical operators, you do the acquisition, execute your business plan and hold it maybe for 3 to 5 years and exit?
We're a little more gray-haired and love cash flow. So our perfect deal is develop the project, stabilize it with tenants, cash flow, and then when the amortization and the debt itself leaves enough of a delta, we'll refinance. In our world, that's about 6.5 years. It may take longer in the current environment. When interest rates were declining, that time period could be shortened, but our favorite project is one where we refinance, get everybody their money back, and still keep 100% of the property. We just continue to cash flow. It helps us with taxes going forward. Now, should somebody offer us money that makes sense, we just do the pros and cons of it. We'll still sell. So we have a hybrid. We build some projects with commercial debt that are designed to sell at 3 or 4 years, depending on stabilization. Mm-hmm. We build other projects that are designed for long-term holds. However, they've got assumable loans so that if it turns out that we want to make an exit, we have the ability to exit that.
Okay, sounds fair. What was the biggest challenge when you were getting started?
For me, it was breaking the doctor paradigm, and I still fight it. And that's the do-it-yourself thought process. Okay. So it was learning to create a team or to hire the person that had much more expertise than me and let them do their job. So that was the hardest thing. But once I really got that thought process, put the right team together, things can be repeated a lot faster and you can do more deals quicker and with more efficiency.
Awesome. What are the markets that you are currently interested in and why those markets?
We used to be in 3 states, pretty much here in the Southwest, but we have divested of our New Mexico and Oklahoma assets. And still currently, our entire business plan is in the state of Texas. We're looking at some things in Florida, but the state of Texas has enough business for us. And pretty much we're right up and down Interstate 35, which just goes from north to south in Texas. There's a lot of growth. 370,000 people have moved into Texas just in the past 12 months.
Absolutely.
It's a hot job market. Mm-hmm. Austin itself had just got Tesla and Oracle, and we've got all the names these days. So jobs, our business follows jobs. So we're staying in Texas for now, but we like Florida too.
Okay. So you have done mostly multifamily and medical office buildings?
Primarily. So a few other assets, some student housing and some other things, but the bulk of it's been medical and multifamily.
You're listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Stay tuned to evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. You're highly educated, work long hours, earn exceptionally good money, yet you have no freedom, fun, or fulfillment. Most of your paycheck is going to high taxes, big mortgages, and big credit card payments to maintain an affluent lifestyle. But what happens if you're unable to work due to an injury? Will you be able to keep up with the payments? And will you ever be able to comfortably retire? We want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.
What do you think about the senior housing or the assisted living? Do you see a scope there?
I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert of much, probably, but I've heard a lot of overbuilding in the senior housing. I don't know that for a fact. I've just heard some people that are in it. You have to really know what you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
And so I don't necessarily know the reasons because it's not my asset class.
I have heard each single day, almost 10,000 baby boomers are retiring. So it's projected like next few years, there could be a good market for that.
What I've heard is that probably true, and it might be just a little early right now. So maybe some overbuilding now, some started earlier, but again, not my asset class. So this is all third party information for me, but that's kind of how I've heard it. So silver tsunami, some people call it.
Awesome. So how do you source your deals? Where is the source? How do you get the deals from?
Multiple sources. I just got one today. It comes from networking, not purposeful networking, just making sure you're out there. And I've been at it for 25 years. So I have people, you know, we connect with for different ways. The people in our office, constantly talking to brokers. We have buyers and sellers brokers all over Texas.
Okay.
We have our business connections. And then I had two simply cold connections. Well, I had a lot of cold connections, but two this week that made sense or something that we might like to explore. And so it comes from everywhere, but it comes from being out in the world, not just behind a screen or behind a book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when you are underwriting the deals, you might be coming across a lot of red flags. Could you please share some red flags?
Sure. In our office, I feel like I'm the black cloud. I always want to make sure that we're not making big assumptions. And so if you look at a pro forma, everything has to go perfect to make a reasonable return. That scares
me. Absolutely.
That just scares me. So on my own pro forma, I want to make sure that we ourselves are conservative. And sometimes on the team, we all help each other. And one person might think something's a conservative metric and it's not necessarily. For instance, rent. At one point, somebody said, I only put 3% rent for growth factor, which is pretty normal.
It is.
I had them go back and do a 20-year average on that particular market. And the average rent over 20 years, which included the run-up from 2008 to 2019 at the time, the average rent increase was 1.9%. So things like that. I don't want to see over-optimism on a pro forma.
Absolutely. That sounds very conservative. What is the biggest rookie mistake that you did when you were starting?
Oh, I've made so many. It's hard to pick out the one biggest one. Mostly not looking at the downside, assuming that pro formas are truth and everything's going to work well. Getting excited about the deal and not checking the people.
Okay.
I have invested with people who didn't have the most ethical intentions. Looking only at the upside, not considering the downside. That's a good way to start. Warren Buffett says, first lose no money. So
absolutely.
I tried to live by that after losing quite a bit when I was learning.
When you are looking for a partner, what are the values that you look for?
Yeah, you could just say integrity, which is an overused word. I want honesty. Mm-hmm. I want directness. I don't want somebody that's going to hold things too close to the breast, because the two of you, it's as important as a marriage. You've got to trust each other. I always say that I've run through a lot of partners, and some of them are in jail and some of them have been raided by the FBI, to be honest with you. But I have two that I can leave my checkbook and my family with and leave the country, and I know everybody will be safe. So you just have to make sure that there's somebody that's got your back when the time comes. And sometimes you can't tell until the chips
are
down.
Absolutely. Completely agree. So what kind of deals do you do? Are those mostly syndications or JV deals, or what kind of deals do you do?
We do quite a few. A lot of time we will JV with another developer. We'll bring the asset management, the debt, the equity, and sometimes we'll have somebody else do the boots on the ground development. We have done that, but primarily these days we leave that to somebody else. As an operator, if we have an acquisition, we'll acquire and we'll fully operate that property. We tend to operate the development properties as well, but we have a JV with a developer. We also do pref equity deals, where we will bring mezz debt, pref equity to a project if it provides a good return for our investors. That type of deal, our investors don't participate in the upside, so we want them to have a really nice return with some downside protection. So we'll do that.
Okay. So when you are doing a deal, what kind of return you are looking for? What's the cash flow that's ideal for you? And what's the IRR you are looking for?
Sure. We would like a 1.7 to 2 multiple at 5 years. We're looking at mid to high teens IRR these days. We find them occasionally in the 20s, but we haven't for a while on a straight up development deal. It's usually going to be mid to high teens. Cash flow in a development deal, you have the first 2 years is zero.
Nothing.
Maybe a dribble at the end of the second year, but typically zero. And one of our debt products, the way it's used, occasionally at the end of year two, you'll get a big chunk of money back. We start in year three, and it's mid to 5-6% return in the first year, and then it tends to grow up to the high single digits on a pure cash flow basis.
Awesome. Sounds interesting. So, Dr. Tom, you know, our listeners are mostly doctors like you. What advice would you like to share with them for someone who is just starting?
Sure. I mean, I started with zero training. And I just got out there and was just too aggressive or too dumb or whatever to stop. So read, listen to podcasts. There's a certain amount of education you can get from doing that. You get your best education doing what we're doing here, listening to a podcast like this. And then in non-COVID times, getting with other people. That's where all my deals have come from. That's where I've learned the most. I've lost some from being with other people, but that's where your education really comes. And you learn fast when your money's on the line and when you're with somebody else. That's where you'll find partners. You can find teammates, partners, people that'll accelerate your progress, but just start. And then the final and best bit of advice is don't quit.
Absolutely. One of the negative part of achievers like you or us or me is like that we have been so successful in a career when real estate is completely new to us. So, you know, that fear of failure holds us back. Was that something that you faced?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
How did you overcome it?
The world just beat it out of me. I failed so much. I had to figure it must have been part of the process. And that's an honest thing. If you're a physician, engineer, lawyer, everybody wants us to be right. And we're used to being right a lot. That's how we got to where we were, by having a high percentage of right answers on tests, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know who's made the quote, but the most successful guy is the guy that's made the most mistakes. So
absolutely,
you have to just realize they're going to happen. They can't eat you. Don't risk your whole life savings, your whole portfolio, your whole anything on one deal. Make sure you've got your risks hedged. Understand what you're going to lose if you lose it all, and then keep going, because you might lose some, but hopefully you win two, you lose one. One step backward, two steps forward. You'll get smarter and smarter each time. Hopefully make less of those mistakes. Never waste a good mistake. You want to take the lesson you're going to get. When the world presses down and crumples me into a little ball. I just figure some sort of lesson's happening. This has taken a while. I've got some gray hair, you can see. It wasn't like that at the beginning, but just be prepared. Look for them and expect them. They won't be so painful when they come.
Awesome. So did you start it as a passive investor or all your deals were active?
You know, I actually started active.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so long ago. I started thinking about this in the late 80s.
Awesome.
And then I was still in my training, so I didn't have any money anyway. I read, I learned, and when it came time, I went out and bought something. And then I bought another one, got really good in that particular market and bought some more stuff. And that's when things kind of grew from there. It wasn't until many years later that I started investing in other people's projects, people that had expertise outside of mine. I was really good with student housing, mobile home stuff, medical, multifamily, but I didn't know much about retail. So I started investing with people that were just experts in that area and in the oil, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you, Dr. Tom, for adding tremendous value to our listeners. How can our listeners reach out to you?
Sure. Please, you can send an email to hello@richdoctor.com. We'll answer. I'd love to talk to people. And visit the website. It's richdoctor.com. There's free resources there for you to use. If you're just getting started out, there's resources there that'll help you, spreadsheets, financial statements, white papers on some things that'll explain a bit about real estate. And I try to put out a newsletter every week or two. I'm still learning how to do that, but give some tips each week or two. So it's just a good place for everybody to learn. And buy my book, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tom. We appreciate it. And now we sign off. Until next time, Wealth Nation, live a life that is filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. And I'll see you next in 2 weeks.
This has been the Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. If you're a doctor, medical professional, engineer, CEO, or other elite professional, we want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.